We feel guilty taking time for ourselves proactively. It feels like maybe we only can take time for ourselves when things are really, really terrible. And the way that we manage our guilt about taking time for ourselves is to just pour ourselves into our families. And we see that exhaustion is sort of like the trade-off. It's like, well, I'm super, super tired, but I really wanted to become a mom. I really love my family. This is the way I wanted my life to be. And so I have to accept the exhaustion that kind of comes along with that. Welcome to Medium Lady Talks. I'm your host, Erin Vandeven. I'm a millennial and mother trying to build the place in the world that's made for me, while fighting burnout, living intentionally, and embracing gratitude, even when I'm grumpy. Here on Medium Lady Talks, we visit the topics and practical tips that will help you maximize self-discovery and minimize self-judgment so you can finally get momentum building the life you know is possible in this post-pandemic world. On this podcast, you can expect we'll get deep while having fun, and whether you're burnt out like a dog in a dumpster fire or celebrating your best life daily, you'll find the conversations, prompts, and tools I know will be helpful on your own personal healing journey. So stay tuned for my deep dive solo shows and interview episodes with dear friends and expert guests. Together, we'll make sure you have what you need to build the place in the world that's made for you. I'm so glad you're here. So let's jump in. Hello, hi, and welcome to Medium Lady Talks. This is episode 98. Is your burnout preventable? Hi, everyone. My name is Erin. I'm your host for today's episode. And today we're going to be trying to answer from multiple perspectives the question, is your burnout preventable? I am sitting on mic by myself for what feels like the first time in a really long time. The podcast this season, season four, has kind of had a interesting start to the season. We started with a couple of episodes and then I went on a trip and I just found it really hard to get back into the routine of making time to sit down on mic with not just time to record, but time to plan the episodes and write the script and really be thoughtful and mindful about the content that I was bringing you. And then also behind the scenes, had a ton of amazing interviews that are all in the vault ready to be released. And to be very honest with you, I think I am doing something that was probably pretty predictable all along. I am approaching episode 100 and I'm feeling very precious about what should happen for episode 100. And as I say that out loud, perhaps what I need to do is actually commit to episode 100 being like a nothing burger episode, being not special at all. But oh gosh, I'm torn. I feel pushed and pulled to have a special episode and to also just have a regular episode. So that remains to be seen because this is episode 98. But not only that, not only the approach of that big significant milestone, but in addition to that, we've wrapped the 9-part mini episodes, the 9-part series with Dr. Ellen Wong. It was a bunch of mini episodes all on the pillars of happiness. And that was, you know, a pretty big project, a pretty big undertaking for me. And I really pushed myself out of my comfort zone to provide this sort of like mini consumable content. A lot of the time, the episodes are long form. They're usually well beyond the 30-minute mark, sometimes closer to 45 minutes or an hour. I think today's episode will feel like that. Anyway, so all that to be said is I'm trying to give context for how I'm feeling today on mic. This script is good. The context, the questions are good, but I do also feel like I drafted this a little while ago. But looking back at it, I'm wondering how current me will see what past me set up for the episode, episode 98. As I said, we are diving deep into the question, is your burnout preventable? This came from actually a conversation I had a few months ago. I was texting with a dear friend and the friend shared she had injured her back. She felt like maybe her body was giving her a signal because she had injured her back and she needed to completely slow down and in many ways stop a lot of her activities, a lot of her hustle, which included stopping sort of planning and delivery on some important projects because her kids were out of town. So her kids were out of town. She had this sort of kid-free window and she was really hoping to like knock out a ton of stuff. And it sort of seemed like while we were talking about this, she said her husband had commented to her, you know, you're on your way down the burnout cycle anyway. So she'd hurt her back. She kind of had to pull over and stop everything. And her husband said, you know, you were on your way to burnout anyway. So this may be a good thing. But her comment, you know, I was on my way down the burnout cycle anyway, this sort of, I don't want to say helpless, but this self-aware and yet not necessarily preventable path to going to burnout, you know, it stopped me in my tracks thinking about this, because I do think about the burnout cycle a lot. I have noticed the cycle in myself, but it has been a hard question to answer. Is your burnout preventable? So today, thanks to this text conversation, we're going to unpack this. And I do want to be clear, I'm not sure of my own answer to this question. So maybe we'll see where I end up by the end of the episode. And maybe you feel the same way. And so we can go through this together. You'll notice through season 4, we're really kind of taking the opportunity to unpack a central question. And that's going to be thematically true for a lot of the episodes that we have lined up for the future. So first, of course, we love to start with a definition so that we're all on the same page. When I say burnout, what do I mean and what are you thinking of? It might be possible that some of this might be new for you, but the physiological definition of burnout refers to the physical consequences and manifestations of chronic stress and exhaustion experienced by individuals. So physical consequences might be something like, you know, your muscles weakening, your adrenal system working overtime. While burnout is often described in these psychological terms, it does also have these physiological implications. So if we stick with those physiological implications, physiologically, burnout can lead to dysregulation of various bodily systems, including your nervous system, your endocrine system, your immune system. Prolonged exposure to stress hormones like cortisol can disrupt your body's natural rhythms, and this might lead to things like you feeling tired. It might lead to things like you having trouble sleeping. It might lead to changes in your appetite. This kind of chronic stress, and that's really where we talk about burnout happening after exposure to chronic stress, it can also impact your heart health. It can increase your risk of blood pressure, heart disease, other related conditions. Burnout can also compromise your immune function, which makes you potentially more susceptible to illness and infection. Neurologically, on a mental level, burnout can also affect your brain structure. It can affect your function, particularly regions of your brain that are involved in emotional regulation, decision-making, memory, and that can all contribute to cognitive impairments, such as like you're feeling like you're having a hard time concentrating. You feel like you're not memorizing or remembering things appropriately. Executive function, how are you making decisions? And are those decisions sort of out of line with the way that you might normally make decisions? So if we think about burnout as this physical experience after exposure to chronic stress, when I say, is your burnout preventable? There might be three answers. No, it's not preventable. Maybe it is preventable. And yes, it definitely is preventable. So we're going to unravel the complexities of burnout and stress management by unpacking these points of view. I'm going to continue to, you know, share my own experience with you. And at the end of this episode, I'm going to share with you another exciting announcement about an upcoming in-person Medium Lady event coming up in June. So let's talk about the no perspective. So the no perspective, if your answer to the question, is your burnout preventable, a hard no, there might be a few reasons for that. I think the biggest reason is that you're just not sure when you're burnt out and when you're not burnt out. I think burnout is, you know, very trendy right now. It comes up everywhere, especially in the conversation among mothers and millennials as we emerge from the pandemic. We faced down, you know, a really challenging generation. You know, we are right now living with information on war, conflict, climate change, etc. We can have by the second updates on all of these things on a day-to-day basis. It's a very difficult period of time to also have deep understandings of the context of the world around us while also just, you know, doing and living our day-to-days. As trendy as it is, I think burnout can manifest differently for each of us. It makes it hard to see someone talking about their burnout. And for you, you might think, oh, that's not me. That's not my experience. I must not be burnt out. So here's a few things that might keep you from acknowledging your own burnout. Number one, you've normalized stress. This is something I catch myself doing constantly. And I think millennials are known to be a generation that was raised sort of by boomers for the most part, who really valued productivity and achievement. And I think this can mean that we just perceive stress as a hallmark of our lives, sometimes as a positive hallmark of our lives. And because of that, we accept it. But we don't recognize that these chronic conditions of stress can result in significant impact to our wellness. Or we think that the impact to our wellness is a trade-off for the positive outcomes from all of that hustle and productivity and achievement. The second thing that might keep you from acknowledging your burnout is that you accept self-sacrifice, or you trade guilt for self-sacrifice. So we've all internalized these messages that mothers prioritize the needs of their children and families above themselves. And a lot of moms, myself included, we feel guilty when we take time for ourselves proactively, especially when there isn't anything wrong. You know, if I were to go for a massage at a time when nothing really feels wrong, or if I were to maybe proactively go to therapy when I'm not unpacking a specific kind of trauma, it might feel like we're taking time for ourselves when, you know, we don't need to fix anything. And that might also lead us to downplay our overwhelm and our exhaustion. We feel like this is kind of the trade-off for our choice to become moms. So we feel guilty taking time for ourselves proactively. It feels like maybe we only can take time for ourselves when things are really, really terrible. And the way that we manage our guilt about taking time for ourselves is to just pour ourselves into our families. And we see that exhaustion is sort of like the trade-off. It's like, well, I'm super, super tired, but I really wanted to become a mom. I really love my family. This is the way I wanted my life to be. And so I have to accept the exhaustion that kind of comes along with that. The third thing that might actually be getting in the way of you acknowledging your own burnout is stigma, and stigma surrounding mental health. And I can't believe that we're really still talking about this when it feels like it's actually easier than ever to mention mental health, to unpack and discuss mental health. I think that there is still quite a lot of stigma attached to admitting that you live with mental health struggles. And when there are challenges, admitting that this is our experience, you know, people might say to me, oh, why do you call yourself anxious? Or why do you talk about your anxiety? That just makes it worse. Or if you just, you know, said it a different way, or if you took a different point of view on it, your anxiety wouldn't be such a big part of your life. That just creates more barriers to people seeking help. I think this internalized ableism as well, this idea of, you know, I should be able to overcome these things. I should be fine. My life is great. Why do I feel the way that I'm feeling? This can also result in a subconscious lack of awareness of our burnout. We're attributing these symptoms to something else. We're saying, oh, you know, I'm just really tired. I just need a good night's sleep. Or, oh, once I get through this project, I'll feel better. You might believe that effective interventions for burnout are limited, and the best approach is to prepare for burnout so that you can expedite recovery. So if I say, is your burnout preventable? You say, no, it's not preventable. The best approach is to just plan for it and then try to bounce back as quickly as possible. And sometimes that actually might be the best case scenario. I do really know for me that recognizing and addressing burnout really requires a balanced recipe of self-awareness, self-compassion, external supports, whether that's friends, family, mental health professionals. But burnout is very real, and it's very real for many of us. And if you've answered, no, there's not much that can be done about it, then I do understand that, because I think the challenges that I've listed are real. Sometimes I definitely think my burnout isn't preventable, or maybe I fall into the next category, the maybe category. But it is sometimes a matter of, what can I put in place to recover faster from my burnout? Or how can I anticipate burnout mindfully rather than completely interrupting the cycle? So maybe let's talk about some of the things that might help us address burnout proactively and ways that we can be more self-aware to recognize when this is happening. Sometimes our resilience and coping skills actually come from some timeouts, some raising the conversation to a more conscious place. I might ask you, like, have you ever been burnt out? Have you ever had burnout? What did it feel like? How did you know? And that's a really important part of this conversation that we're having today. You know, for me, I can think of a very specific time when I was burned out. I had recently gone back to work. It was the very end of 2020, and I had been really trying to learn the context of how to be good at my job during the pandemic. Three kids, two in school, one in daycare, and commuting back and forth to work. And then my grandfather died. And this was still very much the times of social distancing. I think a lot of our Christmas activities were actually probably no Christmas activities at all. We opened presents over Zoom. I think that it was a really difficult time when it felt like things should be getting back to normal, but none of it felt normal at all. And after my grandfather died and I wasn't able to go to his funeral or grieve him with my family, I really felt like I just couldn't take it anymore. And what I ended up doing was sharing that with my boss at work at the time. And thankfully, she was really supportive of me to just take a few days off of work. And then, of course, you know, I'm laughing because even as I tried to take that time to recover and build up a bit of reserves in myself, Henry's class went on quarantine. And I don't know how many parents might remember this, but when the classes would go on quarantine, it meant that all the kids stayed home. All the kids in that class would stay home for 14 days. And so as that happened, I also ended up needing to just work from home for 14 days. And that felt like, you know, one step forward, two steps back kind of experience. The other thing we can think about when we address burnout proactively, or we sort of raise it in our consciousness and talk about it or think about it, is to also think about the way you were raised. How did your family talk about stress? How did your family acknowledge physical versus mental health challenges? There's a lot of the way that we were brought up that we're still carrying forward. Even though I think we're a really pro-therapy generation, I do still think that what I have experienced in therapy oftentimes is about thinking about the way you were raised and how the messages that you received from your family became sort of permanent in your life, and things that you don't really question, we just assume that they're real. And so I would encourage you to think about that and think about what kind of mental health challenges might have existed in your family as you were growing up or as you were an early teenager or even a young adult. And to think about how we sort of tackled the physical versus the mental health conversation in your own home. Were there times when that was really healthy and positive? Were there times when that was really challenging or difficult? Maybe it wasn't talked about at all. And then one final strategy is to sort of think about where you're attributing some of your struggle to laziness or not trying hard enough. And consider if you're using morality to normalize your lived experience with stress and overwhelm. So one of the things that really make it hard to interrupt burnout is when we attribute our fatigue and our exhaustion or our lack of productivity to being a good person or to being a bad person. I think that this happens in really sneaky ways because we get a lot of messaging out there. You know, social media can be a real beast for this when we think about like the productivity hacks or the life hacks or the mom hacks. And we see, you know, video after video of people cleaning their homes. We see video after video of people putting together beautiful outfits. We see video after video of people, you know, reading hundreds of books. And we sometimes attribute those people to being good people. And the people who aren't doing those things are bad people. And so you might be saying, you know, if I just tried harder, I could overcome this fatigue. If I just was better at doing all of these things that I know work, then I would feel better. And we attribute it to the fact that we're sort of like, we're not good enough yet. And if we were better, if we were more good, then we wouldn't have these problems. But the fact of the matter is that we live in an environment that is chronically stressful. And perspective or not, you know, and I'm big on perspective, I'm big on mindfulness, I'm big on your point of view and paying attention to the filters that you put on around your life. But even so, there's only so much you can do about that. There's only so much you can filter on that before you just start to become a Pollyanna and start to actually ignore things. And I really think that when you're using morality to normalize your lived experience to say, well, it's hard for me because I'm not a good person or I'm just, you know, and that's just the way it is, then you can really find that these moments of burnout are very, very difficult to prevent. What I think I'm trying to say is that all of this has to be done with self-compassion. It's why I always recommend Kristen Neff. She's someone who's taught me quite a lot about how to talk about being nice to myself. Kristen has a book called Self-Compassion, The Proven Power of Being Kind to Yourself, and her website is a wealth of free resources. It's called self-compassion.org, and I will link to those in the show notes. So we've talked a little bit about the no perspective. Is your burnout preventable? And we've said no. Some people say no. And part of that is because, you know, we're not really sure when we're burnt out and when we're not burnt out. We've normalized that stress. We accept self-sacrifice, sort of internalize some of that stigma. And some of the things you might want to do are to talk about burnout, ask people about their experiences, think about how you were raised, and consider if there's any internal messages you have about your exhaustion, fatigue, stress, lack of productivity, if that is a result of you just kind of not being good enough. And really, the big solution to all of this is to approach your burnout, to approach your wellness with self-compassion at all times. So let's transition to the maybe answer. So is your burnout preventable? You might have answered maybe. And in full disclosure, I think this is where I sit most of the time. It's probably like the medium lady way of life is, you know, believing that there is a best case scenario with burnout. Maybe we don't avoid it completely, but we give it a soft place to land. And that means we spend less time in recovery mode. I don't know, is this another way of overvaluing productivity? You can call me out if you want to. The maybe perspective here is we're acknowledging burnout is complex. We feel that prevention of burnout probably depends on your individual circumstances that are leading up to your burnout. Again, I'll say this one more time. Burnout is complex. Your burnout triggers are usually a combination of individual, interpersonal, and environmental factors. It's never one cause, one aspect of your life. If I reflect on the times when I burnt out, it was a combination of intense work environment, interpersonal stress, individual challenges, managing my own anxiety that all kind of came together in this horrible storm of complete chaos and breakdown. Subjectivity also comes into play to that complexity. Burnout is a subjective experience. Though it can cause, of course, physiological issues, it will show up differently for other people. Some people may be more sensitive or more predisposed to burnout than others, and that's okay. I think it just means the complexity of preventing burnout requires a really individualized approach to keeping the cycle at bay. And then finally, I'll say is burnout has always had in the literature and in our lived experience, it has this hallmark cyclical nature. We feel exhausted, which affects our mood and maybe results in more cynicism, which causes disengagement from our work, our relationships, our family life, which aggravates disconnection and exacerbates our stress and burnout. So you can see, and then that goes back into us feeling exhausted, which affects our mood, et cetera, et cetera. Interrupting the cycle means addressing our mood, our energy, our relationships, our environment, which feels daunting. It's a lot to take on. But I think that if you're like me and you think maybe my burnout is preventable, maybe the cycle can be interrupted, we want to focus on the things we can do within our own lives so that we can apply as much self-awareness as possible to that cycle. I think this way, all you can do is notice when you're feeling in burnout or when you feel you're approaching burnout, ask yourself mindfully what might be contributing to the cycle at this time. Even just by the act of noticing, you can acknowledge your burnout is a real factor in your life. You can approach your burnout with kindness. Even if you're not sure if the cycle is preventable, you can at least start to pay attention to it. Here's a few things you might want to notice when you're acknowledging your burnout might be a factor, that you might be in the cycle, or you might want to interrupt that cycle. The first thing is you can evaluate your work environment. And this may be your work within the home or outside of the home. Do you have a high workload? Research has consistently shown that a high workload is a very high predictor of burnout. Remember that this is also about control. If you have excessive demands and little control over your work volume, it may make you more susceptible to burnout. The second is a lack of control, as I said, or autonomy. This one affects me a lot for my work within the home. I have 3 kids, a full-time job, a very busy life, and sometimes I feel helpless. I feel out of control about the tasks and decisions that multiply in my life. It can definitely feel like no matter how hard I work, I have no control over my life. And when I get into that point of view, it's very risky. It's very risky, but it's also once I notice myself playing that script, I can think, huh, we're probably facing the direction of burnout. We're probably on the path towards burnout. Another thing that might be affecting you is poor support. So a lack of support from your boss, a lack of support from your parents, your partner, your community is also connected to those feelings of isolation and dissatisfaction, and that can contribute to burnout as well. This might not be something you can control, but it is something you can be aware of, and that awareness can also usually lead to positive gains, preventing your burnout or buffering it. Unclear expectations and role conflict. I think if you work in a role where your job is at times ambiguous, or you're sort of a master of all or a generalist, you work with a lot of competing collaborators, this can create perpetual stress and confusion because, you know, it feels like all things are true and you have to be all things to all people. That can make you more susceptible to burnout. Oh my gosh, okay. That was just work. So let's think now about your caregiving responsibilities. Do you have any? I'm just kidding. Of course you do. If you're listening here, the high likelihood is that you have caregiving responsibilities. The first is work-life balance. Balancing caregiving with everything we just talked about is challenging and stressful, not just for people with young kids, but people with caregiving, for someone elderly, or someone with other needs related to advocacy or physical care. I think the strain of juggling all of this definitely is a contributor to burnout. Caregiving is about giving care, and giving and giving and giving and giving, producing perpetual emotional support to others is draining over time, especially if perpetual caregiving can often come without a lot of respite. Financial stress. Your caregiving responsibilities may come with another kind of financial implication. Perhaps you're on maternity leave or you're putting career on hold to manage these responsibilities. The availability required for you to care for others could also come with medical expenses or reduced work hours. And financial stress is correlated with strain on relationships, which directly contributes to burnout. So as you can see, like, we're really peeling back the onion. And when we talk about that cycle that I mentioned earlier of exhaustion affecting our mood, creating cynicism, which causes disengagement from our relationships, which aggravates disconnection, exacerbates stress, which makes us feel exhausted, etc. When we think about that and we start to peel the layers of the onion within the cycle, we can really find a lot of things to just be mindful of. And I'm not sharing this in any way to say, can you fix your financial stress? Can you fix your emotional exhaustion? This is not really about fixing, although I have used the word prevention. But I do think that sometimes we don't even notice these things. We just take them as a fact. It's kind of the stiff upper lip kind of mentality, you know? We keep calm and carry on in the face of financial stress, in the face of work-life balance, in the face of poor support. You know, we keep calm and carry on. But when we're talking about burnout, noticing these things can become very powerful to understand what we're under and what we're up against. And also to get back to that self-compassion piece, honoring what we're under and honoring what we're up against. Okay, so we talked about work environment. We talked about caregiving responsibilities. Now let's talk about personal expectations. And, you know, here's where I struggle the most as someone who answers maybe to the burnout question. Can my burnout be prevented? And I might say, maybe. If I could address my personal expectations, I do think sometimes that there are opportunities to at least minimize the effects of my burnout. So here's some personal expectations that can absolutely exacerbate your burnout. Perfectionism. Are your standards too high? There's another question. Are your standards too high? Yes, maybe no. Maybe that's a whole other episode on its own. Oh, maybe, like, who knows? I have no idea. When I started this whole venture, I used to really frequently describe medium effort. Medium effort is a way to gently lower my own standards. I've kind of actually come away from medium effort in the last year or so. I did get some feedback that people felt this was an insincere statement on my part. And I thought that feedback was interesting. I think that's another story. But even with these little tricks like medium effort, when we fear failure, when we try to avoid criticism, when we relentlessly pursue perfection, this is a really fertile breeding ground for burnout. Pursuing the impossible leads to a lot of self-criticism and dissatisfaction that primes us for that burnout cycle. Outside of perfectionism is self-imposed pressure. If you see yourself as an ambitious person, and I do, who finds a lot of satisfaction out of personal accomplishments, then you might find yourself pressured to succeed in many areas of your life, career, relationships, self-improvement. This pressure feels like it comes from external expectations, but usually at the heart of it is self-imposed. Spending our time only pursuing accomplishment and advancement leaves us without enough time to prioritize self-care, and we miss out on the opportunity to mindfully take stock of our lives and experience gratitude and fulfillment without changing anything. And then finally, difficulty setting boundaries. I'm really so sorry, but the people pleasers of the world are at high risk for burnout. People who have difficulty saying no or establishing boundaries, or people who feel responsible for the emotions of others, I find myself in that category quite often, they may find themselves frequently overcommitted and overwhelmed. And when you are most comfortable putting others ahead of yourself, then you deprioritize your own needs and well-being, which is a recipe to perpetuate the cycle of stress and exhaustion. So all of that to say is if you feel like maybe your burnout is preventable, the best opportunity for all of us is to mindfully peel apart the onion of what contributes to our burnout and where those things are in the work category, in the caregiving category, in your personal expectations category. We didn't talk about a relationships category. I'm sure there's a relationships category there. And applying tricks of mindfulness, just notice. Notice when you feel yourself burnt out, when you feel yourself approaching the cycle, you can ask yourself mindfully, what might be contributing to this right now? Even just the act of noticing, you can elevate the awareness of burnout in your life. You can give it real structure and boundaries. And you can say, this is happening to me and I can approach it with kindness. Even if I don't know if I can prevent it, I can approach this state with kindness. I can acknowledge the things in my life that are real instead of just plowing past them, just putting my nose to the grindstone and moving forward. We're going to move to the final segment. I asked the question today, the central question for today's episode, is your burnout preventable? And some of you might have said, yes, and I would love to know who you are. Please send me a DM or screenshot your podcast player right now. Put this in your IG stories and tag me so I can learn from you. We can get to know each other. Okay, what is the yes perspective? You believe that burnout is preventable, but maybe you are feeling uncertain about where to start or when to intervene. Or you've had times where you prevented burnout, but it was really very specific and it probably feels hard to duplicate. So we're going to talk about triggers that I shared in the maybe section of our discussion, and we're going to go deep on the practical tips that can address burnout once you truly believe it can be prevented. If you don't think any of these can be prevented, then there isn't a point to addressing your burnout. I mean this with all the love in the world. And this is a place I found myself right before I gave birth to Beckett. I really felt like there was nothing that could be done. I was incredibly burnt out. I was physically exhausted and my mental health was just on a thread. But I didn't think I could change anything. And so I didn't do anything. And it was very hard. Knowing what I know now, I see that I didn't believe ending my burnout was possible, which affected how I felt. It affected my emotional state, which perpetuated the actions I was able to take, or in this case, not take, which were further reinforced by my thoughts and feelings. I hope you can see how this is all connected. And sometimes I hope if you're looking back on a time when you were burnt out, that you're seeing that person with a lot of compassion, because if there's anyone that I wish I could take a time machine and take care of, and I'm feeling a little emotional to say this, I wish I could take care of my pregnant self in 2019. I wish I could go back and tell her all the things that I've learned since that point almost 5 years ago. Okay, but let's go back to those three domains of burnout that I talked about, work, caregiving, and personal expectations. And we'll think about the practical interventions that truly could prevent burnout only after you believe you can prevent burnout. If you don't believe you can prevent burnout, then we have to kind of go back to that belief. We have to tinker with that belief before we can take action. While I was drafting the outline for this episode, I realized actually there's quite a lot we've covered individually within the Medium Lady catalog of episodes. So I'm going to try to prescribe some of the previous Medium Lady Talks episodes you might want to listen to dig deeper. So work environment. We've talked about high workload. Set boundaries, establish clear bounds with work and personal life, define specific work hours and avoid checking emails or taking work-related calls outside of those hours if possible. You might want to think about episode 62, which is called Gentle Goal Setting for Burnt Out Millennials and Mothers. Lack of control in your work environment, prioritizing your tasks. Try to identify your priorities and focus on completing high priority tasks first, and to delegate or postpone less urgent tasks to avoid feeling overwhelmed. So if you feel a lack of control, try using prioritization exercises to avoid feeling overwhelmed. A really great episode is episode 49, which is called Effort, Energy, and Connection with Dr. Siobhan France. Some other things that might work is to practice time management. You can use time management techniques such as prioritization, I mentioned before, time blocking, and task batching to increase efficiency and reduce stress. Take breaks. Incorporate short breaks throughout the workday to rest and recharge. Use your break time to stretch, walk, or engage in activities that promote relaxation and mental clarity. Seek support. When you feel like your work environment is contributing to burnout, Reach out to supervisors, colleagues, or human resource representatives for assistance or resources when needed. You know, I know it's really hard to ask for help when your workload becomes unmanageable, but you have to use your voice to ask for what you need. The best episode on using your voice is episode 74, which is How to Be a Human with a Voice with Jam Gamble. And then finally, advocate for change. And if this is possible, advocate for changes in the workplace that promote a healthier work environment, flexible work hours, telecommuting options, wellness programs, etc. I don't have a lot of good episodes on advocacy, and that's something I'd definitely like to build out in the Medium Lady catalog. So if you're listening and you have an idea for a guest, please shoot me a DM and give me those recommendations. Okay, let's talk about your caregiving responsibilities. So one of the things that can contribute to burnout is work-life balance. And when it comes to work-life balance, this is something I do a lot, is you gotta communicate openly. You gotta communicate openly with family members, with other caregivers about your needs and limitations, discuss the ways to share caregiving responsibilities more evenly, and consider seeking outside assistance when necessary. And one episode I recommend you think about is episode 82, which is called The Identity Revolution, Why I Plan My Free Time Each Month, and You Should Too. Another caregiving responsibility that contributes to burnout is emotional exhaustion, and a really important way to do this is to seek support groups. Join support groups, online communities for caregivers to connect with others facing similar challenges. Sharing experiences and advice, I think, can provide emotional support and practical tips for coping. We've had a few episodes like this, not specifically about support groups, but about friendship and partnership. We have episode 68 is called Is Friendship a Type of Self-Care? And episode 60, which is 8 Ways to Make Better Decisions as a Couple. Another way to manage your caregiving responsibility burnout, or to maybe prevent it, is to really practice self-care. This is not, you know, bubble baths and crystals kind of self-care. This is prioritizing self-care activities like exercise, relaxation, hobbies that bring you joy and fulfillment. Taking care of your own physical and emotional well-being is absolutely essential for effectively caring for others without taxing yourself. My favorite episode on self-care is episode 83. It's called Is Your Self-Care Helpful or Harmful? You can also try to set realistic expectations and be realistic about what you can reasonably accomplish as a caregiver. Gosh, this is a whole deep dive in and of its own, is the way that mothers performed while caregiving during the pandemic. It's this sort of performance on the outside and practice behind the scenes. Or, you know, if you think about, you know, the mom on a Zoom call who's got a baby down for a nap or a sick kid in the background, I think being realistic about what you can reasonably accomplish as a caregiver is such a powerful way to regain control of your stress and to legitimize the sort of chronic cycle that can happen as a caregiver. Accept that you may not actually be able to do everything perfectly. Focus on doing your best within your limitations. This is episode 10. It's an early Medium Lady episode, but it's one of my favorites, and it's very, like, well downloaded. Is episode 10, Medium Lady Talks About Parenting on a Bad Day, and episode 11, which is Medium Lady Talks About Lowering the Bar. And then financial stress we talked about. When we're talking about financial stress, I think a lot of us like to kind of like look away or put our heads in the sand, avoid these things are happening. I think the most proactive thing you can do is to take advantage of the tremendous amount of knowledge and resources that are out there. And those would fit a variety of means, variety of incomes. One of the great episodes about this is episode 53. It's Financial Self-Care with Leanne Hanaway. And then the personal expectations we talked about, you know, challenge your perfectionism, challenge those tendencies, set realistic goals, accept imperfection, practice self-compassion, acknowledge that making mistakes is a natural part of learning and growth. I mean, that's a lifelong journey in and of itself, just reading those lines off the script. And that is, in a lot of ways, the hallmark of the heart of what Medium Lady Talks is all about. But a real flagship episode of this content is episode 90, which is called Finding Calm in the Life You Already Have with Cecilia Mandrick. If you have difficulty setting boundaries, we can think about practicing assertiveness. And these skills to communicate your needs and your boundaries effectively, you can learn to say no to requests or commitments that exceed your capacity without feeling guilty or obligated. You can learn how to do that. It's going to take time. You're not going to get it right away. But an episode that might help is episode 67, which is called Why We Get in the Way of Our Creativity and Self-Care. self-imposed pressure. I'm, you know, chronic at that. And the best balance is to set really achievable goals. Break your larger goals into smaller, more manageable tasks, to set achievable deadlines. You know, celebrate your progress along the way. Please, let's make that our mantra for 2024, is to celebrate progress, adjusting our goals as we needed to maintain a sense of accomplishment and motivation. A really great episode of this is, I think it's episode 24. It's Medium Lady Talks About Doing Less with Tracy Stanger. And, you know, I think the theme of this episode, the real core value, is self-compassion. Cultivate self-compassion by treating yourself with kindness and understanding, especially during times of stress or difficulty. You say, yes, my burnout is preventable. That's only going to happen if you can be nice to yourself. Practice self-soothing techniques such as mindfulness meditation or positive self-talk. A beloved episode in the catalog is episode 89. It's called Everyday Manifesting with guest Diana Alexander Rane. And then finally, if your personal expectations are contributing to your burnout, you know, you can reevaluate your priorities, regularly reassess your priorities, reassess your commitments to make sure that they align with your values and your well-being. Let go of the obligations that no longer serve you and focus on activities that bring you fulfillment and joy. One of my favorite episodes on this is episode 70. It's called My Life-Changing Perspective on Having Your Best Summer Ever. We are going to spend a lot of time in season 4 really practicing and getting these evidence-informed stress management techniques embedded into our routines. You can expect more mindfulness, more time management, more self-care practices, discussions with more expert guests that are applying and learning these practices in their own lives. You want to know what's working for them. So do I. What isn't working for them? They're going to share all of that. I think the benefits of seeking support and having a community that helps you interrupt that burnout cycle is really, really important to prioritize in your well-being. I have been dabbling with the idea of providing gratitude coaching to offer personalized support and relief in a short period of time. This is not burnout prevention, but it's more about building a foundation for a life that makes burnout more obvious and where you feel really prepared if you can buffer against burnout or if you can prevent burnout, to have the skill set to do that. I am experimenting with what that would look like, but if that sounds interesting to you, I would love it if you would hop on the wait list that I've got going so that I have a sense of interest. And I'm going to be working with people for basically a low or no cost option to kind of beta test the structure of what this might look like to help others. Finally, I'm very excited to announce that on June 8th in Burlington, Ontario, I will be hosting a very small live event called Chase the Good. It is going to be an afternoon together with some food, some activities, some prompts, and some content designed to bring people together to really experience moments of goodness and moments of joy, and to come away with some practical tips and some inspiring motivation to really feel like you can chase the good in your own life, that you can not only identify the good in your own life, but that you can go after it with complete vim and vigor. And I'm excited to offer this as a live opportunity in person. It will probably be about 15 people. Again, it will be hosted in Burlington, Ontario, Canada. If you are interested in joining me, Medium Lady, for a live event, then I want you to stay tuned to my stories and my posts on Instagram. I will be announcing more details and how you can sign up and get your ticket for that event. It'll definitely be going up the week that this episode goes live. I guess, you know, I feel a little nervous about putting this stuff out there, but it's time. It's time. Medium Lady's in her fourth season, and I've been doing this work for coming up on 5 years now. And I think that the benefits of what I've been able to learn and what I'll be able to teach over the next few years is really exciting. And I want it to be perfect, but if I'm going to take, you know, my own advice and remember that the achievements are in no way a measure of the journey, that I have to keep progressing on the journey, regardless of, you know, how nervous it makes me. You know, what if it doesn't turn out? What if this event? But I'm hoping that this resonates with you and that you feel excited about it and that you're able to join us on June 8th in Burlington, Ontario. Okay, so let's summarize today's question we are talking about. Is your burnout preventable? The no perspective is maybe that you're not sure when you're burnt out or not burnt out. You've maybe normalized your stress. You've kind of accepted self-sacrifice. You know that there's a lot of stigma around mental health. And I would recommend that maybe you start to bring burnout to the top of your mind. Think about other people you know who've talked about their burnout. Think about how you were raised to talk about mental health and stress and physical challenges. You know, think about whether you're attributing this experience to a narrative in your head that could be questioned a little more. If you've answered maybe my burnout is preventable, then we talked about the onion that is burnout and just how complex it is. The triggers, how much of it is about subjective experience and your sort of individual fingerprint for burnout. We talked about the work environment, the caregiving environment, and your personal expectations that could all be contributing factors. Just noticing those factors and getting a little specific about what might be driving your burnout and what might be at the crux of preventing that burnout. And then finally, we talked about the yes perspective. And so the yes perspective is really about thinking about where do we start. We're going to start with things like evaluating our effort for energy. We're going to use our voices. We're going to think about how we plan fun and joy in our lives. We're going to really have real self-care, not just faux self-care. And we're going to think about how we challenge our perfectionism, how we practice mindfulness and manifestation, how we make sure that we're thinking about our priorities and rechecking our actions against what we really believe. I want to invite you to reflect on your own beliefs about burnout prevention and consider taking steps towards greater well-being. I really want to know, those of you who resonate with the yes perspective, to think about joining the waitlist for gratitude coaching. There's a lot of opportunities from working with me to really take that to the next level. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I know that your time is precious to you, and it is definitely never lost on me how grateful I am that you choose to spend some of your time with me on the show. I want you to remember that you are doing such a good job. Such a good job. No matter what cycle of burnout you're at, you are doing a good job. If you know a friend that you think would benefit from this episode, please share it with them. That is always a great way for us to grow the community of podcasts and continue to make sure that people are being helped by the content. Until next time, I'm your host, Erin. This has been episode 98 of Medium Lady Talks. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to Medium Lady Talks, created and produced by me, Erin Vandeman. If you want more of the general vibe, gratitude, and encouragement from this episode, please come and find me on Instagram at medium.lady. And since you've made it to the end, I'd love to get to know you even better. Screenshot this episode so you can share it on Instagram and be sure to tag me so that we can chat. Thanks for listening. Remember, you're doing such a good job. Your place in this world can only be filled by you. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.